I'm back. I am back. Alrighty, let me get situated here real quick. We'll get started. We'll get it underway. That's attached here. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're good. All right. I'd like to begin, before we get started with the sermon tonight, I'd like to begin by asking you a question. What is God to you? What is Jesus Christ to you? And I don't know if y'all caught this in, while we're going through Psalms. David, he categorizes Jesus, or God, I should say, differently. And God takes on different roles in David's life for every different situation that he's in. And we're going to begin in Psalms chapter 62, and Psalms chapter 62, and then if you'd like to put a mark in John as well, John chapter 6 is where we'll also be at. But I think this is an important question for a few reasons. The first reason, I think, is this question, the answer to this question, deepens our relationship with the Lord and moves our relationship with the Lord beyond an intellectual relationship. It moves our relationship to a more heartfelt relationship with God. And I'm going to give you an example in Psalm 62, but I'll give you another example as well. For instance, I don't just know of my mom. Mom is not just my mom. She's my therapist. So if I were to lose mom, I'd lose my therapist. I know. Sam, although I don't typically get advice from Sam teaches me to be a little more critical. So if I were to lose Sam, I lose the ability, not necessarily the ability, but I wouldn't be as critical as normal, I guess. And so what I mean by that is there's a value to the relationship with my mom, with Sam, with my dad, with Megan, with Bethany, with my grandparents, my great-grandmother. There's a value to that relationship. And the same can be said with David, and God. There's a value to his relationship. And so let's read verse 1 of Psalms chapter 62. It says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." So you can see that David, he categorizes God in five different ways. The context of this psalm most likely is when David and Absalom are going at it with each other. And that's back in 2 Samuel 15, chapter 15 through chapter 18. And throughout his situation, David is able to say, "God was this to me, he was this to me, he was this to me," and so on and so forth. And he gives five different categories. And if you go to the New Testament, we have seven I am statements that Jesus Christ says. And I want to look at those, and I won't be long tonight, I promise. That is a promise there. So John is where we'll be at officially, for sure. John chapter 6, Very familiar passages of Scripture to all of us, John chapter 6, verse 32 through 35. We're going to look at these seven I am statements, probably in a little bit of a different light than most of us may have heard. But John chapter 6, verse 32 is where we'll begin. And I forgot. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray, and then we'll read. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your word that you provided for us, Lord. I pray that you would ease my nerves, Lord. And I pray that we can get something from the message tonight, Lord, and really consider what you are to us this evening, Lord, and what value we place on relationship we have with you. It's in Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 32 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them," here's the phrase, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." This first I am statement is, "I am the bread of life." And Jesus makes this statement right after he's fed the 5,000 and he crosses the sea and he's on the other side. And he makes this statement to the folks that are simply looking for more bread. They just want more bread. And so Christ says, instead of looking for bread that's going to perish, because, you know, the food we eat perishes, look for the bread of life. And just as bread sustains our life, and I really shouldn't, I guess sustains is the wrong word. Prolongs maybe is a good word. But sustains our life here on earth. Jesus Christ sustains physical life. And Christ is able to satisfy the deep hunger of our souls for purpose and fulfillment and eternal life. And Jesus Christ, he is the source of daily strength and sustenance in the Christian's walk with God. So Jesus Christ is our sustenance. He's our sustainer. Let's continue John chapter 8. Again, I said it would be very quick. John 8, verses 11 through 12. Another familiar context to us says, "She said," speaking of the adulterous woman, "she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus unto them," speaking of the Pharisees, "saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," and so on and so forth. And so Jesus not only is our sustainer, not only is he the bread of life, but he's the light of the world. And Jesus makes this proclamation, speaking to the Pharisees, pretty close would be the Feast of Tabernacles, and light plays a significant role in that feast, and light is a symbol of the light that guided the Israelites in Exodus. And so God equates himself to that light. And what does light do? What does light do? Light is the opposite of darkness. And so it dispels darkness. And Jesus Christ is able to do that. And with Jesus Christ, he brings truth, he brings clarity, and he brings hope in a world full of sin and confusion. And he's able to reveal the path of righteousness and expose sin so that we can walk in the light. And so in moments of spiritual or emotional darkness, Jesus is able to illuminate our path and show us the right way forward. And so without him, we're left to stumble around and walk in confusion and darkness and not know our way around. It's very similar to, if you were to turn off all the lights in a dark room and you're not familiar with the room, and you just walk around, you have no idea where you're going, what you're doing, and Jesus Christ is able to, he is very similar to the light, the flashlight that you would turn on in that room. And so he's not just our sustainer, but he gives us direction. He's our guide as well. Jesus is also the door of the sheep, John chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. And as we continue, I really do want us to consider this tonight. And when I say, you know, when I ask the question, what is Jesus Christ to you? Most of us in here would say, well, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I hope that is true to all of us. But that is not unique to any one individual. What I mean by that is, I can confidently say Jesus Christ is my Savior. Granny can most likely confidently say Jesus Christ is my Savior. But if I have not experienced all that Granny has experienced. So she may be able to relate to Jesus Christ in a different, or God may be different to her. He may be something different to her. He may be her rock, her guide, her comforter, she says. He may be my caretaker, my strength. That is something unique to each and every individual in here. So again, let's just consider, let's keep going. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. Verse 11 through 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I think I skipped one. I did, actually, now that I remember. It's in chapter 10, so go back, read. Say what? Yes. Thank you. But I'll keep going with this. So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He contrasts himself with the hirelings who abandon the sheep. And he says that he giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ lays down his life. And this is a great picture. You can go over to the crucifixion and see that there. And so in times of wandering or danger, Jesus is able to gently lead us back to safety. And he offers comfort and provision and guidance when we feel lost. And then verses 6 through 9 says of the same chapter, this parable spake Jesus unto them. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep. And so a little bit of context. Back in these times, and probably still today, the shepherds would literally lay at the gates of the fence line and all that stuff. They would lay at the gates so that if any danger were to come into to the sheep, they would be there first to meet to confront the wolves or whatever, such and so forth. And so Jesus is able to offer us protection and keep us secure from spiritual danger. And he is the only way to experience true freedom and fullness of life with God. Let's continue. One of my favorite miracles and one of Jesus Christ's last miracles, John 11. John chapter 11. Another familiar passage to all of us. Lazarus passes away, and then Jesus Christ raises them back from the dead. Verse 24 through 25. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So Jesus, again, he speaks these words when he's talking to Martha, right before he raises Lazarus from the dead, and he demonstrates power over death. And I think what's interesting is, this, like I said, his last miracle, at least his last recorded miracle, before the crucifixion, and it's his power over death. And I think that may have been a way of reassuring his disciples, like, I do have the power over death, so don't, you know, if I'm gone, don't be scared, it's okay. But Jesus Christ demonstrates his power over death. And so in the face of grief, loss, or fear, Jesus has the ability of giving us hope and reminds us that death is not the end, it's actually the beginning. And without him, we would be without hope in the face of life's greatest enemy, which is death. Another familiar one is John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You're getting to the Last Supper at this point. Another familiar passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So Jesus, again, he shares this during the Last Supper. He comforts his disciples with these words. At least that's his goal. And establishing that he is their guide and their Father. And Jesus Christ establishes here, we're all familiar with, he is the only way to God. And he gives us clear direction. Jesus gives us clear direction in confusion. And he gives us truth in a world of lies. And spiritual vitality to live abundantly as well. And without him, we're lost, we're deceived, and spiritually dead. And so Christ, he's our life. He's the way to God. He's our guide. And then the last one is in John 15. It's one chapter over. John 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So Jesus Christ, is the true vine. And he uses this metaphor of the vine and the branches to describe the relationship between him and his followers. And it emphasizes, this relationship emphasizes the necessity of remaining in Christ. And Jesus, he is the source of spiritual life and vitality. Believers must remain connected to him to bear fruit and live a life that glorifies God. It's like any other branch or tree. If you cut down a tree or cut down a branch, it happens to that branch if it's not connected to the root. It dies. So we have all seen that happen before. And so when we stay connected to Jesus through prayer, through his word, and living out what he says we should do, we can thrive spiritually. And so, in conclusion, Jesus Christ, He is the bread of life, so He's our sustainer. He is the light of the world, He is our guide. He's the door to the sheep, He's our protector. He's the good shepherd, He's our caretaker. He is the resurrection and the life, He's the life giver. And He is the true vine, He is the source of our strength. I just wanted to give you this thought tonight. Dad and I were talking about it in the car on the way to pick up my grandparents. And I feel that it may just be me. But I feel that if we can, if we are able, and most of you have probably thought about this already, but if we're able to really, you know, think about or answer the question, what is Jesus Christ to you? What is Jesus Christ to me? If we're able to answer that question, we move beyond this, you know, intellectual, this know of relationship, and we move to this relationship where there's, I guess the best way to put it, there's emotion, you know. When people pass and you know of them, you're not really losing anything. But when you lose someone close to you who has value to you, then you're actually losing something. And I think we should all consider tonight what Christ means to us, what God is to us. You know, like I said, some of us may say, "Well, you know, He is the Creator, He's the King." That's great. Those are great things. I don't disagree with that at all. Those are accurate statements. Those are biblical statements. But what is He to you that's unique to you? And so I just wanted to leave y'all with that thought tonight. And hopefully we can think about that throughout the rest of our week. Consider that. And I'm glad y'all were able to make it out. And let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Again, we thank You for the many blessings that You've given to us, Lord. I pray that we can consider this thought tonight and answer this question to ourselves personally, Lord. And I pray that it